There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The big question.
Well, the big question is, books on writing, do they actually help? And I thought that rather than speak to me about it, we should ask some actual writers. So we have some in the studio with us. Rachel Hamilton
I've taken my co-host hat off.
Has taken
my writing hat on.
Yes, she's taken her co-host hat off. She's put on her writing cap. Would you mind introducing yourself to listeners who might not be familiar with you in your writing hat?
Okay, writing hat on. Basically, I write for children, or historically have written for children. I've written two series, the Exploding series, which was published by Simon & Schuster, and the Unicorn in New York series by OUP and Scholastic. I don't even know whether to admit this because it might all go wrong, but I'm currently trying to write an adult novel, but you may never, ever see it because it may be a complete disaster. But as part of that, I've joined a writing course with Faber. And so that kind of gave me the inspiration to want to talk about these books because they've suggested books to read. They've given lots of exercises. And historically, I've kind of been a person that's been, you know, you can't teach someone to write. It's a natural kind of ability. But I think there are things that can be picked up. And so that's me. And that's why I'm interested in talking about books about writing.
Rachel Hamilton then. Moving over to Annabelle Cantaria, who's just joined us in the studio.
Welcome. Hello, morning.
Back. This isn't your first time on Talking of Books, but I think this is maybe your first time talking to us purely about books on writing.
Yes, it is, definitely.
So would you mind introducing yourself to listeners? I know a lot of them will probably already be familiar with your work, but go ahead and indulge us.
Oh, well, obviously, I'm Annabelle Cantaria. I write adult novels. I have 4 out at the moment. I'm writing number 5. They're psychological suspense novels in sort of quite dark genre.
And your last one is kind of about the dangers of social media, I think.
Yeah, oversharing on social media and the problems that can cause.
And Heidi Frost, who's still sticking around with us today.
I've written some short stories. Haven't had any published in the last couple of years, but before that I've had some out. I also am trying to write a novel. Working on it.
But also you run Dubai Writers Group.
I run Dubai Writers Group.
What you do every single week is you're always looking at ways to like tap into the next story. Like you're working with other people who are also trying to do the same
thing. Yeah, we have a critique group every other Saturday that we basically read each other's work and give feedback. And this is exceptionally useful. And I think it's the most useful tool that you can use to improve your writing.
And our last author in the guest chair is the lovely Rehan Khan.
Hey there, how's it going?
Would you mind introducing yourself and kind of the books that you have written? And
sure, yeah. So I've written 2 self-published fantasy novels, which came out over the last couple of years, called the Tazbirai series. And I've just managed to be signed up by a UK publisher to do a historic fiction, which is coming out in March next year. And the way I describe it is it's Mission Impossible in the 16th century.
That's such a good line.
That is really good. Rachel, would you mind kicking us off with the book that you think is really helpful for writers?
Well, I've gone very, very practical because I think there are loads of books that, you know, like The Artist's Journey and all this lot that, and Writing Pages and all that, which are great. But there's this one book that we were recommended on the course I'm on that is written by an agent. And basically the title of the book is The First 5 Pages. Mm-hmm. And it's by someone called Noah Lukeman. And what he is saying is that if you are at the point where you have written your book and you are submitting it to publishers, then the first 5 pages, they will decide whether or not this is a book that they're going to buy. And they are absolutely crucial. He's even arguing that most readers will decide within those first 5 pages if this is a book they want to read. And so he is talking about the things that kind of jump out, and he gives them in 3 different sections. The things that jump out immediately and make you put a book down as an agent or an editor at this stage. The things that you look at second if you haven't already thrown the book across the room. And then third, the things that kind of that make you really buy into a book and will make you want to kind of pick that, make that part of your acquisitions for that year if you are an editor or an agent. And so it's very interesting.
So you've gone the practical route. Have you... And anybody else in the studio, have you actually read this one?
I have read parts of this one. I love this one. I've read most of them and they're really good.
It's good. And his point is that if you're writing your own book, you love your book, so you see all the positives in it. But he is saying that an agent or an editor, when you submit it, they're not trying to find things to love, they're trying to find reasons to get rid of it. And that's a very different way to look at your own writing, and it's actually quite helpful.
What's your experience of this, Annabelle?
Of the first five pages in all?
Or just in the process that Rachel's talking about, working with an agent and what she's saying here about the decision being made on those first five pages.
I'd be surprised if they got as far as five pages, to be honest, from what I've heard. Don't they have some software, Rachel? You'll know about this.
Yeah. There's a couple of editors within the publishing houses who have a software that allows you to dump it after a certain amount of time. You pick, the computer will kind of alert you and you decide keep or dump. And it's a very short time.
It's like 3 minutes or something.
It's a matter of minutes. And then you will decide. And the vast majority go dump after a couple of minutes. So it's worth knowing when you're submitting, because I think we sort of live in a bubble where we think our book's the best thing ever and everybody's going to love it. It's also, if anyone's listening with kids that are studying for exams, it's worth talking to them about their writing technique, because examiners are also looking for reasons to put a cross or a tick. They're not buying into their essay. They're looking for those particular elements. So it's a new way, I think, to look at writing, which is highlight the things that are important that are going to get you the marks, as it were, in exams, or get the agent to buy your book.
And that first sentence is critical, isn't it?
The hook. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to get that right. If you don't get that right, you've lost, I think.
When Annabelle won the Montegrappa Prize with her first book, Luigi Bonomi, the judge, said it was her very first sentence that grabbed him. Do you remember?
I do. I still remember that
sentence.
You
know what the sentence is. Tell everybody what the
sentence. Gosh, hold on. Let me just read. I said I know it. I was making a bechamel sauce for a lasagna the night I found out my father died. Something like that.
Luigi loved that.
He absolutely loved it. And that came to me randomly while I was actually cooking one night. And I scribbled it down on a piece of paper and it sat under the toaster for about 2 years. And then I pulled it out and thought, hey, I might write a book using that.
See, brilliant.
I think that's great. It was sat under the toaster.
Yeah. I think I only found it when we moved house.
But speaking of the Montegrappa Writing Prize, because we are running out of time to kind of crack onto a new book, so we'll leave that momentarily. The Montegrappa Writing Prize is now open. It's produced 8 published authors already, including Annabelle Cantaria and Rachel Hamilton.
I lost to Annabelle, but the hilarious thing is I keep saying I won the prize even when Annabelle's sitting next to me. You came second.
And Annabelle's always really lovely and quiet about it.
I just go, I have a doll of Rachel that I stick pins in at home. I'm just kidding.
Or are you?
Well, you're still alive. So.
It's taken a very dark turn. So basically, the Montegrappa Writing Prize brings together local talent and international publishing expertise. You've heard the name Luigi. Luigi refers to Luigi Bonomi, who is a literary agent. And it's basically a fantastic platform for new writers. You can find more information about how to enter the prize, kind of what the requirements are, etc., on emiratslitfest.com. And also what you get if you actually win the prize, or if you pretend that you
yes, you don't get quite so much when you pretend you've won.
But you did come runner-up. You kept comparing yourself to One Direction.
I got a prize.
Didn't you?
So it's only half lying. Also, you, Annabelle and Jessica, I think, are doing a course, aren't you?
We're teaching a workshop to people who have entered the competition this year. So in November the 17th, I think it is, we're doing a 2.5-hour workshop to help people polish up their entries and hopefully give them a maximum chance of winning. We're obviously not promising that they'll win, but we'll do our best.
They can pretend they did.
We're giving individual feedback on the synopsis and the manuscripts, and teaching techniques like the five pages business.
Brilliant. We'll remind new listeners about this in maybe 20 minutes or so as well, because that's a really good thing to bring up. And before we go away, just remind us of the title of the book that you were talking about, because all these books on writing, if you want to enter the Montegrappa Writing Prize, will help you as well. So you've got The First Five Pages?
The First Five Pages by Noah Lukeman.
And it's a very practical book.
It's a very, very practical book about how you can lose the reader or the agent or the editor's kind of interest in that first five pages.
I know we have to talk about this because it is the reality, especially when you have people in publishing with programs that say keep or dump, and they have like 2 minutes or so to actually accept your work or not, that you've worked so hard for and you care so much about. But is Is the book slightly depressing?
It depends why you write. A lot of people write because it's their hobby and they don't really care if any editor or agent will ever pick up their book. And so they're writing for love and sometimes for therapy. In that case, this book is utterly irrelevant to you because it will just disappoint you. However, there are a lot of people out there who've written books and they know their books are good. I've read friends' books that are easily as good or better than mine and they haven't got it published. And so this is brilliant to help you look at what you've got and to see if there's something simple that you could change that would help you get through the door.
The big question.
So we were talking about the last five pages by...
First five.
Clearly. Rachel, would you like to interview yourself?
Should I interview myself? Yes. Rachel, you were talking about the first five pages. Yes, I was. But now let's go over to Annabelle and hear what she has to say.
I just want to read this lovely text message that someone sent in to Heidi. I used to help Heidi with events, and the ones I used to run included mixing creative fields like music and art with writing so that the activities and writing exercises focused on crossing those borders. She says the key is to constantly inspire and spur streams of consciousness to help guide your writing. Heidi keeps us writing. That's from Alyssa.
Oh,
which I think
round of applause for Heidi.
Yay, round of applause.
It's fantastic.
I think that's the one thing that is going to come up again and again today is that we can read all these books on writing, but at the end of the day, keeping writing is possibly the most important thing. So well done, Heidi. The first five pages.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to highlight from the book that you think is incredibly important, like particular moments, before we move on to some of the other books?
Well, shall I just give you a quick run through of what the preliminary problems that he says will put you off to start with? Some are very obvious. One is presentation, and he gives the kind of the things that you need in terms of presentation. I won't go through those. The other thing, the first thing that marks out to editors a kind of amateur writer is adjectives and adverbs and their overuse. Mm-hmm. And he gives details about that. Then the sound and the rhythm. He says you can tell a kind of a professional writer by the way their sentences flows. And the words he gives is you want complexity of thought, not complexity of language, which I think is quite interesting. And then comparison. He says that what editors and agents often look at is the figurative language, the similes, the metaphors, because they will often highlight somebody who isn't quite there with their writing, if they're either cliched or if they're completely way out. Or they can really highlight a brilliant author, because sometimes you get those the comparisons just right. And the final thing in that preliminary problem is style. He says that often people try and use a voice which is correct, but if it's too exaggerated or too alienating, that can be one of the things that makes people put a manuscript away.
I'm just trying to think of examples where that has happened before. Carry on.
Then he goes into part two, and there are a lot of things around dialogue. He says then you go to dialogue as a test of how well somebody can write. And so the things about reading between the lines, commonplace, melodramatic, don't have all of your dialogue at the same pitch. And there should be an arc. So you need to not feel... I'm a bit of a dialogue heavy writer. And so he's saying it makes it move too fast, which can actually be a problem for the reader. And also he's saying that people underestimate silence and action as a replacement for dialogue. So he says, don't run in saying, I'm bleeding from my head. Have somebody come in and get a bandage and have the other characters react, which is quite interesting. And also he has a complaint about people using dialogue for exposition to explain what's happening. There's a film called Prince of Persia that I got dragged along to see at the cinema. And it is the perfect example of how disastrous it is when the characters just keep telling you all the information that you need to know. And the only redeeming feature of that is Jake Gyllenhaal looks quite nice as the Prince of Persia. Other than that...
So thoughts on that, not necessarily on Jake Gyllenhaal as Prince of Persia, but on any of the points that Rachel brought up from that book, anything that you actually personally struggled with that she highlighted there?
I agree with those very much. I see a lot of that in new writers, but also it's hard because you have to just keep practicing and rewriting and getting people to tell you their reactions before you realize, oh, my dialogue works now, or, oh, that simile is bad, but I love it, but I have to cut it. It's a long process, yeah.
All right, yeah, Rehan?
Yeah, I think, so brevity is really important. Fewest words, most impactful punch. And if it's not moving the story forward, take it out.
Annabelle, do you want to share the book that you've brought with you?
Sure. Mine is also very practical. It's called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Writing a Novel.
Oh, it's perfect for me.
Well, it was perfect for me as well. And it is practical, but unlike Rachel's, it's far more pitched at beginners. So somebody who's sitting there thinking, I really like writing, but I don't know where to start. I don't know anything about writing a book. And it's divided into four sections. So the first section is an overview about publishing and the industry in general, which is really useful because most people don't tend to know all this stuff themselves, I don't think. The next stage is planning your book. So plot, characters, setting, dialogue, point of view, pacing, all that kind of thing. And they're really brief points. It's a book you can dip in and out of really easily. And it's not written at a highbrow level, you know, using language that you wouldn't understand. It's the complete idiot's guide. It's really easy to understand. The next section is actually writing the book. So doing your research, finding your style and your voice, managing your time, the format of how you should write the book and how you should present the manuscript as you're doing it, all that kind of thing. And then the last section is for when you've written your first draft. It's revising, editing, finding an agent, publishers, marketing and publicity. So it's the whole industry from beginning to end. And every single thing I've read in that book is so true and so useful.
What, have you read this one, Rachel?
I haven't, and I think it'd be very interesting to read.
But yes. Say that again.
I haven't read it. But I think it would be interesting. Was I leaning too far back?
Yeah, I could hear you. That's fine, though. So I think I also want to start talking about a couple of the other books as well so that we don't run out of time. So, Heidi, what is the book that you would recommend?
Save the Cat, which is technically for screenplays, but you can adapt the beats. He has a beat structure or beat sheet, which is a terrible rhyme. I don't like it.
Is the title a reference to Alien?
No, okay. But he uses that as an example.
Okay.
Interestingly, my favorite thing about this book is that if you watched the American version of House of Cards, it basically starts with a scene that is the exact opposite of this. He mercy kills a dog. And this is a very good tone setter for House of Cards, because if this is past your line, run away now. It's not getting better. So it's a very good... this is how, if you have a difficult character, how do you make the audience feel sympathy or care about this character? Save the cat. And this doesn't have to be literally saving a cat like an alien. This can be as simple as a cop that just arrested a bunch of people letting someone who showed up late go because he has a child. You know, he sees that this person he was going to arrest with the whole group has a child. He lets him go. Something simple like that. And there's a lot of, you can definitely adapt the beats for other things. I also love to drag Save the Cat because it is a literal, on this page of on these exact pages of your script, these things should happen. And it's very formulaic, and don't overuse it if you write film. Anyone in Hollywood listening, don't overuse it.
Heidi would like you to not overuse Saving the Cat.
But it is useful for learning story structure in general and for developing beats and working on a lot of story problems.
I like that idea of how you can make an alienating character more appealing. I might have a look at your book.
Yeah, which is, again, House of Cards does not do this.
No. This is a slightly general question to everybody, and that's that we've spoken about quite a few very different books, they all seem to be very accessible and encouraging. But do you think that you could maybe sometimes spend too much time being told how to do something and it confusing you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
Complete agreement. Yes. In fact, when I started writing books, I stopped reading books about how to write books and just wrote the book.
I feel like writing books are very, very good, both when you're first starting out and have no idea how to write dialogue or how to paginate anything or break things into paragraphs. And they're also very good when I've written three novels and I can't get any of them published. What's wrong with my stories? It's very good for, breaking it down. But story structure is always going to be a how do I fix what's broken, not how do I write what comes next.
So would you say that Save the Cat is one that you read after you've maybe already had a think about the story, the characters, and you know where you're going?
Yeah, it can also be a good way to figure out maybe if you don't have an idea of what comes next, it might not be the worst thing, but it's also, it is much better for if you've already written a thing and you're trying to figure out how it's broken.
Okay.
It's also interesting at the point I'm at where I'm sort of slightly changing genres. So I'm trying to pick out what I know about storytelling and separate it from what I know about writing for a children's market and moving elsewhere. I mean, you've had a slight change, haven't you, in genre? Did you have the same sort of experience, Rehan?
Yeah, I think I was doing sort of fantasy YA, which was really fast paced and, you know, fantastical world. And I'm doing historic fiction YA, which is really fast paced in the real world. So not that much change.
The big question.
We've spoken about the first five pages.
We have.
By
Noah Lukeman.
Noah Lukeman. We've spoken about The Idiot's Guide.
The Complete Idiot's
the complete Guide. The Complete Idiot's
Not just any old idiot.
And we've spoken about...
Save the Cat.
By?
I don't remember. I'll find it.
I don't remember. And Rehan Khan, what's the book that you'd like to recommend for aspiring writers?
Yeah, I'd like to recommend Story by Robert McGee. So it's a pretty straightforward title. You can't get lost with that one. And he's a Hollywood screenwriter's sort of guide and tutor. I came across him when I was writing a film script back in 2005. And let me just quote McGee. He says, "Anxious, inexperienced writers obey rules. Rebellious, unschooled writers break rules. An artist masters the form." And this book is very much about how do you develop the art and craft of writing. So, you know, it's like a gymnast. When you see them do all those flips, you think, wow, that's amazing. But they spent thousands of hours perfecting each movement. And so this book is about how do you do that, really? And one of the things he does right at the beginning, he says, look, story is about archetypes and portraying a universal human experience across different cultures, which is why the stories of Charlie Chaplin, Ingmar Bergman, Satyajit Ray, etc., they just travel globally because, you know, people just recognize that story and they say, yeah, that's me, that's my story, although it may have come from a completely different culture. So he talks a lot about that. He talks about the fact that the writing process and what you read in the book is a writer's own personal cosmology. It's you. It's your view on the world, your politics, your economics, your spirituality, whatever it is. It comes out in the book. So it's really, really good. And that partly kind of a bit philosophical as well. But I think one of the things he's saying is that if you don't know yourself, your product is not going to, you know, speak, really. You have to know yourself first before you can start writing. And not before you can start writing, but you discover that as you go along. There are a number of things in the book, and you know he gives a lot of advice about structuring the story. So how do you break a structure down of a story? So you have with film scripts, you have different events happening. So that could be chapters in a book. How is that broken down within each chapter, within each event? There are beats. So a beat in a book might be a character gave a sideways glance, then decided to move on. That's a beat within the story. And so how does that beat build into the event, which builds into the, you know, overall scene, which builds in, or a chapter, which then builds into a structure, which then builds into an act. And then how many, you know, sequences do you have within the act and so on. So he's really, really good in that. But I mean, we can talk more about it, but that I think
it's interesting that we've had two books that are from a very kind of film-based background that I think a lot of fiction writers or writers in any medium find helpful, because ultimately it just goes back to what makes a good story. Do you think that that is accurate, that it's always pretty much the same thing if you're learning how to write good story from somebody who specializes in film, if it's a different medium, if you're writing, say, if you're a children's author, say, like yourself, Rachel, trying to write more like adult fiction, do you think that these books would be helpful to you at all?
Yeah, I think any that tells you what a story is and how a story works is useful. I think it's quite interesting that we've all brought quite practical books along with us. I kind of chose mine at that end because I thought everyone else would bring more kind of creative and, you know, that sort of book. So it's interesting that we've all gone with practicality. I think perhaps that's what happens when you've been writing for a while. You kind of want that specific nature of things. But yeah, I think McKee's stuff is really very applicable to most stories, to be honest. But as Heidi says, then there's a danger that if you follow that too closely, you end up churning out movies that are identical or books that are identical. And that's unfortunate.
These are all, yeah.
Can I just come back on that? I think the thing is, if you are reflecting your personal cosmology, you won't do that.
Yes, that's very true. I left the cosmology out and went straight to... Yeah, so that's the thing. I think if you read in depth and you read these books with all the kind of elements around them, they're absolutely perfect. It's when you pull out a chart within it. So I've seen McKee's kind of three-act structure chart used a lot. And that's when they're not dangerous, that's a bit extreme, but, you know, when they can create work that isn't as good as it could be, perhaps.
We've just had a text message in from Elisa. Books with creative writing skills and prompts are extensive, but doing the same exercise one day and then repeating it next week or next month or whenever in the future, that's what can help get you out of a block or develop and grow. Something simple like 365 days of creative writing can help you. That's Elisa. Thank you for texting in. Thank you for your text message. While we've recommended quite a few great books for any aspiring writers to get stuck into, whether it's Story by Robert McKee, Save the Cat by author TBC.
Blake Snyder, I found it.
Blake Snyder. The Complete Idiot's Guide to Writing by?
Tom Monteleone.
And the first. I keep wanting to say the last five pages. What are, say, like a couple of exercises that maybe you could give to listeners right now before they've had the chance to go out and buy some of these books? If they want something that they can actually do today to get them started writing. Annabelle, are there any recommendations in the Complete Idiot's Guide? No?
No, I couldn't find any easy things, but I would say try and write an ideal first sentence that creates a question in the reader's mind. That's always a good exercise to do if you've got 5 minutes to spare.
I like the idea of trying to write a character description that says something not just about that one character, but says something about the kind of truths of people in general. And if that's a bit woolly, I've got an example, which is like Joseph Conrad from Heart of Darkness, when he describes Colonel Kurtz. He uses this description. He says, he was obeyed, yet he inspired neither love nor fear, nor even respect. He inspired uneasiness. That was it, uneasiness. Not a definite mistrust. Just uneasiness, nothing more. You have no idea how effective such a faculty can be. And I like that because not only do you get an idea of Colonel Kurtz, but it's one of those moments when you put the book down and you think, gosh, that's very true. So, yeah, if you can write that sort of line.
What would your recommendations be, Rayhan and Heidi? If you were trying to think of something quick that someone could do.
I always give the example of set a timer for 15 minutes, right from the point of view of a drop of water.
Okay.
Don't let your pencil stop.
I would suggest write in the active voice, practice, writing in the active voice. And there's another book, if I may, just quickly recommend it, which is The Elements of Style by Strunk and E.B. White. And E.B. White is the author of Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little and so on. I'll give you one quick example. So they say, you know, write in the active voice. For example, don't say there were a great number of dead leaves lying on the ground. Instead, say dead leaves covered the ground. Or don't say at dawn, the crowing of a rooster could be heard. Say the cock's crow came with dawn. And I think if you want to practice, just that's really important. Write in the active voice. It makes a huge, huge difference. And you'll just cut out. You'll just take a machete to all the adverbs and adjectives. And
sensing
take them out.
Verbs. I felt, she saw, she heard. No, all those go.
E.B. White, I think, wrote one of the best opening sentences ever in Charlotte's Web. I might be paraphrasing it slightly, but where is Papa going with that axe? Fern asked her mother as they laid the table for breakfast. Brilliant.
That is a great. It's
so great. That's a good question right there.
Exactly. Oh, I might read more.
That is all that we have time for. Would you mind just going around and reminding everybody, because I know that when people are driving, they don't necessarily catch all the titles of the books we talk about. So, Rachel.
The First Five Pages by Noah Lukeman.
Annabelle.
The Complete Idiot's Guide to Writing a Novel by Tom Monteleone.
Heidi.
Save the Cat, Blake Snyder.
And Rayhan.
Story by Robert McGee.
All right, thank you so much for talking to us about books on writing and which ones you would recommend to our listeners.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.